Well, good morning, church. Super delighted to be with you. I love the truth. I love the Lord. I love His church. I also love the lost. That is why I work. That is why I'm here. I'm here to energize you, to revive you. Sing and preach and revival me. I'm trying to get you fired up. Do the work that the Lord has commissioned each of us to do. To take the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I pray that my work here will be beneficial to you. And I pray that you will test me. Don't take my word for it. I want you to examine all the scriptures that I submit to you and what I teach and compare it to the authority of those scriptures. And you'll be more noble according to God. You will be considered noble by God. Acts 17:11. Father, forgive will be the message of the hour. It is a hymn of repentance. It is earnest. It is personal. I had sinned. That is why I wrote this hymn. I was feeling godly sorrow, and I was working for repentance. I was trying to do the work of repentance, of changing my mind, and therefore my behavior. Repentance is not being sorry. Repentance is a change of mind that can only be evidenced by a change of behavior. Thank you for letting me be here. I love the work that I get to do. It is rich and rewarding. That is 1 minute from my home right there. That view you see right there, 1 minute from my home. That is Pogue Farm, right across the highway from our place. I live in a beautiful place in this world that God has blessed us with. Blessed beyond measure. I mean, really blessed beyond measure. Y'all are blessed too. Took this shot this morning. This is some of your blessings right here. The beauty of God's creation, and then this sign out front of this building that is set aside for y'all to come and worship and assemble in His name. That's why we're here. We're here in His name. We are by His authority assembled to worship Him. That is the purpose of gathering together on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, to remember the death of the Savior. If there was an empty tomb, we have a reason to be here. If there was not an empty tomb, we have no reason to be here. But there is an empty tomb. Our Savior is risen. He overcame death. He defeated death. That's why we're here. We have the privilege to worship Him as He commands. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to worship. It is a privilege to be here. Assembled with the church, the one church of the Bible. I go hard on it. Let me tell you something. Y'all should appreciate Brian because I can tell you something about him. I know he heard me go hard. I do. I do so because I want to go to heaven and because I love you in a let's go to heaven together kind of way. I want you to be ready. The message of the Bible class hour was about being forgiving in order to stay ready. Get ready by obeying the gospel. Stay ready by walking in the light. 1 John 7 and 9. Part of that is being forgiving of one another. Now, I go hard about the one way of salvation and the one pre-denominational. Pre-denominational. Before religious division. The Lord's church is pre-denominational. We will cover that in the third message of today. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. That is just as profound as it is simple, and it is just as simple as it is profound. I know that Brian loves the truth. I know he's a blessing to you because he heard me go hard at Goldsboro, the Goldsboro Church. I go hard about that one way of salvation in the one church of the Bible. Anybody who hears that, if they love that, they're going to ask me to come and do this. And it's a privilege to be here. So I know that Brian teaches the gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. You know, that's how we're the church of the Bible, right? Abiding in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 1:9. He that abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. If we abide in the doctrines of man, sourced from man-made manuals, which have no authority to exist, denominations don't have any authority to exist, man-made manuals, creed books, catechisms have no authority to exist. This is because the Bible completely equips us. I go hard about that, and that's why I know that Brian teaches the doctrine of Christ, because he loves the truth like I do, or else I wouldn't be standing here before you. So thank you, Brian. Church, build him up. Appreciate him. Show him you love him. Father, forgive will be the message of the hour. Look at that. Some of the work I get to do. Gospel Broadcasting Network. I get to go to the Gospel Broadcasting Network studios in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and teach these messages about these hymns that I'm teaching this morning. It's a privilege to do so. That's Tucker Wallace. Now, there are no kinds of Christian in the Bible. There are no hyphenated Christians. There aren't Protestant Christians and Catholic Christians and Wesleyan and Arminian, Pelagian and Lutheran and Calvinist, and there's none of that. There are Christians in the Bible. That's what I want to be. There are no kinds of Christians, meaning there are no hyphenated Christians. In another sense, there are kinds of Christians, and my favorite kinds of Christians are the kinds that have had the brave honesty to come out of religious division, denominationalism, which hurts Jesus, and obey the one gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. This brother right here, Tucker Wallace, he used to not be my brother. He used to be a Baptist instead. It's a different process. We're going to cover that. It's a different process to become a Baptist than it is to become a Christian. It's a different process to become a Lutheran or a Wesleyan or any other denominational idea, process. It's a different process to become each of those. So this brother used to be lost in religious error, and he was brave and honest with the biblical evidence that was presented to him. He obeyed the gospel and became a Christian. He works at the Gospel Broadcasting Network. He's a blessing to me. That's Tucker Wallace. Two different processes, right? It's just two different processes. This is one of the pieces of work that I do. I made this with an old phone. This one's older. I probably made that with an iPhone 6S a long time ago. That's what I made that with. Sat down on my phone and worked on it using an app called Fonto. Put all the evidence here about the different processes. You can see that we're together at first. We hear the good news about Jesus, and we're together. Oh yeah, we believe. Yeah, we're still together. We're believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the only way, the one Son of God. At that point, it becomes religiously confusing on the one side to become a Baptist. You might do one of several things. You might repent, actually. Some of them still teach that you need to repent, which is a work. It's a work we must do. That change of mind results in change of behavior. And you might pray a sinner's prayer, invite Jesus into your heart, or accept Jesus as your personal Savior. All of those are fables. That means they were made up by man, and they don't work. They're spiritual dead ends. But to become a Christian, we're going to cover this all this week. You hear the good news about Jesus. You believe that good news, that he is who he says he is. You repent of your sins, change your mind, you confess the deity of Christ before others. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I love to say that out loud. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen to that? Yeah, I believe that. That is part of becoming a Christian, is confessing that before men. And then you're immersed in water because Jesus said so, for the reason Jesus said. It's not some outward display of an inward change. That's a fable. Why do I keep saying fable? 2 Timothy 4:2-4. Preach the word. That's what I'm going to do. Be instant in season and out of season. That means I'm going to tell it whether you want to hear it or not, whether the lost wants to hear it or not. Instant in season and out of season, whether it's fashionable or not, whether they call you a legalist or a Bible thumper, Jesus freak, or whether they believe it, whether they like it or not, I'm going to tell the lost and the saved the truth. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, gentle correction. Rebuke, firm correction. Exhort, warning. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, patiently. You know, when they call you a Jesus freak or a legalist, that's when you practice long suffering. You don't get angry and ugly. Instead, you take it. You deny self. With all long suffering and doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but instead, they'll look for those teachers having itching ears, ear ticklers, people telling them what they want to hear, that they were saved when they invited Jesus into their heart. That's what they want. But those ways are fables. They will be turned aside from the truth and instead turned to fables. That's 2 Timothy 2-4. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to do so firm and lovingly with long suffering, whether it's fashionable or not, because some people out here believe fables. That's what I'm called to do. Obey God through teaching the truth. Once I put out a meme like that, it generates Bible studies. Guess what the purpose of putting those memes out is? Bible studies. I highly recommend this teaching method. This is back to the Bible. Rob Whitaker champions this method. If used effectively, it has a 90% conversion rate. Did you process that? Because wow, it is hard to convert people to Christ, to get them out of religious division, denominations. But if you use correctly, and I can give you the links to pick these up, they're inexpensive and effective. They work. There's the old rig coming out, preaching the gospel, using my old wagon and this old camper. It's a tool. It's been put in my charge. God blessed me with this. Guess what I'm going to do? Glorify His name. Come here, proclaim the gospel. That is one of my other methods that I use. I drive and preach. No joke. I just put the phone on the dash, I hit record, and then I preach the gospel. I'm a Christian. No prefix. No suffix. No substitutions. Not a hyphenated Christian. Instead, I'm a Christian. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. I'm going to say that about 73 times during my time here, and I expect you to learn that by the time I'm gone. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. They weren't called anything else. They weren't called some kind of Protestant, Catholic. They weren't called any of that stuff. None of those exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. So I just wanted to share with you some of the different avenues that I use to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I do so because I love the truth. And I love the tools that God has blessed me with to preach it. I love it. I love truth. I love everyone. And I want everyone to be ready when Jesus judges us all. We are assembled in His name here today. One of the people who I am privileged to work with is a Christian whose name is Shane Fisher. He is a huge blessing to me. He works with Voice of Truth International. You may have seen that publication. He works with World Evangelism. He is a hymn writer like I am. I got to meet him at Polishing the Pulpit about 4 years ago, maybe. I will ask your patience with me. It's been a long time, but I had COVID 3 times, and it permanently affected my voice, so I have to drink water this week. I hope you'll bear with me on that. I got to meet Shane at Polishing the Pulpit. We shared some song ideas, and then we got to busy working. He is one of the 5 collaborators for Christ, Hymns for Him. Deb Hibbard, lyricist. Shane Fisher writes music and lyrics. Mayumi Zaporteza, May Zaporteza, she writes music for Deb's lyrics. And Hatton Allen writes music for Deb's lyrics. You know something there? Deb is a lyricist, and she cranks them out. She's written as many as 6 in a day lyrics, 6 sets of lyrics in one day. So she's fired up. We all work hard, and we love to work. They are all blessings to me, and I love them so much. We're all set for the defense of the gospel. We all are ready to write hymns that glorify God, that teach the truth. We work together. And as was mentioned, I have a goal of a 1,000-song hymnal by 2028. When I made that goal in 2018, 10-year goal, I can do this, I was working alone. I was not collecting hymns from other people. I had the goal to do that, but then I started working for the collaborators, and it's going really well. I think I've written 150 by myself, and then another 50 that I have arranged. I don't read or write music. I have to have it transcribed. Ethan Tate transcribes, Manly Thweet transcribes, and Andy Robison transcribes. So I'm grateful for those who can write and take these hymns and put them onto the staff as we see here. Shane writes great songs. Now, the first song I taught during the Bible class hour, musically fun. You'll find that's a repeating theme with me. The music is a vehicle for getting the truth across. We repeat the truth, especially with choruses. They repeat. We get the truth nailed down. Musically, this song is super fun, and I actually don't have to teach anything about it before we sing it. Now, I'm just going to lead it, and y'all are just going to sing it with me. So this will not be the song of the hour, the study of the hour, the lesson of the hour. This is just to warm us up. Meditate. It's on Philippians 4:8. Oh, one more thing. Look at that time signature up there. 4:08, and it's Philippians 4:8. Kind of neat. That's all. All right, let's sing it.
Meditate on these things.
good. I'm encouraged by your participation. That is the truth. That's what we should do. There's my family. I didn't know if I was going to have them with me. I do. It's a blessing to have them with me. Part of my blessings. I like to celebrate blessings. Boy, that's a blessed man right there. Very blessed. Blessings from yesterday, day before yesterday? Really? It's a blur. I'm on the road a lot. Look at that. Come on now. God loves me. There's some proof. Right there it is. God loves you too. You put that out there for us to enjoy that bird in flight right below that beautiful tree. God loves us. Look at that bird was out there. Gorgeous. God's creation shows his power. That just happened because some stuff exploded, right? Yeah, because explosions always make order, right? Oh, they make chaos. That is order. A design indicates a designer. Gorgeous animal. All right, this is a difficult message for me to deliver. I'll just put that out there first. Toe steppers. I deliver toe steppers. I like toe steppers. I like it when teachers deliver toe-stepping sermons. Something that convicts me is what I mean by that. So this one convicts me the most of any message I deliver. It is difficult for me to deliver. Sometimes when I'm finishing delivering this message, I feel wrung out, just squeezed, convicted, pushed. I had sinned. I was feeling godly sorrow, and I needed to repent, and I penned this hymn. I will point out a few things musically that we will do together. The chorus. The first phrase, I want to do right, is louder. The second phrase, right in your sight, is quieter. And then in the middle, I want to hear welcome home, volume-wise. Also, I'm going to sing the way this works. You see those rests there on that bottom line, please bless me lest I roam. I'm just going to sing how it works. Please bless me lest I roam. So bless me lest, crisp like that. And that's all I'm going to teach you on it.
I do what I do not wish to do, Father. Oh.
church. For the good that I want to do, I don't do it. But the very thing that I hate, I find myself doing that. Isn't that the Christian walk? Do you know that stumbling is part of walking in the light? It is. That's because we cannot live sinlessly. That's why we need the blood of Jesus. If we're walking in the light, we will find ourselves giving in to temptation from time to time. We will stumble. That's when we need to get back up. Work hard. Repent. Confess to God. Tell Him we know that what we did is a sin and we're sorry for that sin and we want to do better. And make every effort to get back up. That is the overall teaching of this hymn. I do what I do not wish to do. Romans 7:15. For that which I do not allow, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. What I hate, that I do. Do you hate sin? We need to hate sin. If we love God, and we love truth, and we love to be in a right relationship with Him, this necessitates our hatred of that which separates us from Him. And that is our sin. Our sins and iniquities separate us from God. We need to hate that. We do. We need to hate sin. We find ourselves doing that which we hate. That's when we need to repent and get back up. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's that huge two-letter word again that was brought up in the worship hour, the Bible class hour this morning. If. A gigantic, tiny, two-letter word. If. So little, but so big. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. I do what I know I should not do. Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. We do the very thing that we hate. That's sin. We stumble. Father, forgive your child. Repent ye therefore and be converted, Acts 3:19, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We need to repent. When we sin, we need to repent. We do. We need to hate that sin. I want to do right, right in your sight. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's how we do right. If you want to do right, you will study the Bible so you can know. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We should study the Bible, put it in there, memorize it. Hide it in our hearts. Have it on tap for when a temptation is presented to you, you'll know the right choice. I want to hear welcome home. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to hear welcome home. I want you to hear the same thing. That's why I'm here. I want to revive you. Get you fired up to do the work of the Lord. Get you fired up to keep repenting, to forgive your brethren when they sin against you and they repent. That's one of the reasons I'm here. I love the truth and I love you, and I want you to be ready when God judges us all, when Jesus judges us all. I'll walk in the light as He's in the light. That's 1 John 1:7. I bet you recognize that. When you sang that lyric out, I bet you recognize that scripture. It's 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light. Part of walking in the light is stumbling and then getting back up. Repenting. When you sin, repent. If we walk in the light. That's as opposed to giving up and living in open rebellion on some sin you think you can't overcome. Walk in the light instead. Try. Keep going after God. Keep telling Him that you love Him and that you're sorry for your sins, and ask Him to help you. Please help me, God, to overcome this particular temptation that I'm facing. He loves you. He wants you to succeed. Please bless me lest I roam. Psalm 109, 26. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Cry out to God. Pray to him. Ask him to strengthen you. He will. I stumble along and do what's wrong. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. I find myself doing this, doing things that I know I shouldn't do. I stumble along and do what is wrong. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. We're spirits, but we're inhabiting a temporary flesh vehicle. You know, when I deliver that first message of the morning, I see a lot of smiles. It's a bright, positive message. We got to teach the whole counsel of God. I know this message is convicting and it can be difficult to digest, but it's important. We can find the comfort, the light, in God's promises. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Forbearing one another, Colossians 3:13, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Sometimes the world will see that wrong. Oh, this one hurts. Have you sinned publicly before? Are you convicted from it? You should be. I don't want to bring reproach on the Lord's church. I want to show the world how Christians should behave, should live. Sometimes the world will see that wrong. Romans 2:21 through 24. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest the boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Do you know the world's watching us? They know that we claim Christ. They see us. That one hurts. Sometimes the world will see that wrong. Father, forgive your child. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. I want to do right, right in your sight. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. That is man's all. That is why we exist. I want to do right, right in your sight. Do you, church? Do you want to do right? Do you want to make the right choice every time? That is why we exist, is to make the right choice. You know, Jesus made the right choice every single time. He lived, yet without sin. He was in all points tempted just like us, but every time he made the right choice. Every time he was faced with a temptation, he made the right choice. He could have sinned, but he made the right choice, and that is why we have hope. It's because he made the right choice every single time when we cannot. But we need to keep trying. I want to hear welcome home. Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, shall not be able. I want to hear welcome home, and I want you to hear welcome home too. I'll walk in the light as he's in the light. Please bless me, lest I roam. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We need to keep following Jesus. When we stumble, get back up. Repent, confess to God, get back up. Make every effort to overcome any sin that has you. Please bless me, lest I roam. Here's a super encouraging promise from the Savior. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What a comforting promise. Did you know that? Take him up on that offer. Look for that way of escape because he's provided it. No temptation has overtaken you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I try, but I fail from time to time. Romans 7:23 and 24. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, the flesh, the body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Romans 7:23 and 24. I try, but I fail from time to time. That's walking in the light. Trying, but failing from time to time is walking in the light, and that's as opposed to living in open rebellion with no intention of stopping a sin that has overtaken you. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 gives us a list of folks that aren't going to make it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Liars, drunkards, fornicators, idolaters. That's who's not going to make it. In that passage, in some translations, it renders it as those who practice some sin. These sins shall not enter. Practicing those sins is the opposite of walking in the light. You got walking in the light, which is hating sin and trying, and then you've got giving in. I can't beat this sin. I'm just going to give up. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 is a sobering warning about folks who are not going to make it. So instead, walk in the light. Hate sin, stumble, get up again, try again, keep trying. Look for those escapes that He's given us. I fail, though He's with me all the time. Did you know that He's with you all the time? I want you to know that. I want you to remember that He is with you all the time. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. He's here. He's here when you're here. He's here when you're out living your daily life. When you're tempted, He's here. He's made a way of escape and He wants you to overcome. Father, forgive your child. I want to do right, right in your sight. I want to hear welcome home. I'll walk in the light as He's in the light. Please bless me, lest I roam. John 14:15, did you know that your obedience to God is the evidence that you love Him? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we know that we love God. That's how God knows that we love Him. It's through our obedience. I want to do right, right in your sight. I want to hear welcome home. Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. I want to be part of the few. I want you to be part of the few. I walk in the light as He is in the light. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Please help me, please bless me, lest I roam. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts. We need to make the right choice. I do what I know I should not do. Father, forgive your child. Romans 7:19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Father, forgive your child. It's a tough message. It's tough for me to deliver, and I'm sure it's tough to hear. But we need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. All right, we've taken apart the lyrics. We know exactly what we're teaching here. You just taught me that I need to repent and walk in the light. When you just sang that, you taught those around you to do that. Sing, teach, admonish, Colossians 3:16. Whatever we do must be by the authority of Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:17. Whatever we teach, when we sing, must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. You know it's dangerous, church. We might be singing these hymns and these books and not have a clue what they mean. That's not okay. It's just not. We need to focus on the words. We need to understand what we're singing. We need to make sure that we do it purposefully because we're worshiping and we're teaching. Whatever we teach has to be in the name of Jesus. By His authority, we have to teach the doctrine of Christ. All right, we're going to sing it again. We have better understanding. We know the scriptures that support it. Thank you for being more noble, testing me, examining what I've said in the light of these authoritative scriptures, because I don't have a lick of authority. I don't. Jesus has it all, Matthew 20:18. All right, let's sing it again.
I do what I do not wish to do. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Your child, I
Thank you for teaching me that I need to keep on repenting, that I need to walk in the light, and repenting is part of that. Hating sin is part of that. It's a tough message for me to deliver. I got to tell you, it rings me out every time it does. It wears me out to deliver it, but it's essential. It's essential that we keep focused on God and what He's expected of us to be Christians, to actually follow Christ, to be Christians, to be Christ followers. To be Christians, we're going to need to keep on repenting, keep on confessing, keep walking in the light, keep hating the sin that separates us from God, and keep looking for those ways of escape for every temptation that we are faced with. And we can do this. That is a Philippians 4:13 kind of thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a Philippians 4:13 kind of thing. We can walk in the light. We can do that. Maybe somebody's here this morning who has never obeyed the gospel. You know, I gave a little reference there earlier about the two different paths to become a Baptist, for instance, versus a Christian. And that's not to pick on Baptists. That's to expose the unfruitful works of darkness of all religious division, all denominations. They're all to be exposed. I do so by the authority of Jesus Christ. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's Ephesians 5:11. That's direct. It's blunt. It means what it says. It says what it means. It's God talking. He has no trouble expressing that. I expose religious error by the authority of Jesus Christ because I love God. I love truth. I want to go to heaven, and I love everyone, and I want them to go to heaven too. So it's a different process. To become anything other than a Christian, whether that's Catholic or Wesleyan or Muslim or Buddhist or anything other than a Christian. You know who's going to heaven, right? Christians. Guess who else? No. Christians are going to heaven. The only people who are Christians are those who have done what God has determined we must do to become Christians. Only those who have heard the good news of Jesus, that He lived a perfectly sinless life, that He was crucified on a Roman cross, was buried in a tomb and raised 3 days later by the glory of the Father. That's the definition of the gospel. Gospel means good news, and that's the definition. That is the best news ever, that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's why He is the only suitable sacrifice for our sins, because in the flesh, He never sinned, and His blood is the only suitable sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 is the definition of the gospel revealed to us. It says that God raised Jesus from the dead. Christ died for our sins according to the word. He was buried and raised again. But do not believe that in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:2. Did you know that's embedded right in the very definition of the gospel? Is the warning not to believe it in vain? 1 Corinthians 15:2. Right in the definition of that gospel, 1 Corinthians 1-4, is the warning not to believe it in vain. That's the gospel that's going to save you unless you believe it in vain. If you believe it without obeying it, obey the gospel. Hear that good news about Jesus. Believe that good news, that He is who He says He is. He said that if you don't believe that He is who He says He is, we will die in our sins. That's potent. If you believe that Buddha's the way, you do not believe that Jesus is who He says He is. The way. The only way. That applies to all manner of religious division made up by man. Those fables. 2 Timothy 4:4. Made up by man. Believe that good news. Repent of your sins. Make a change of mind that can only result in a change of behavior. If you haven't changed your behavior, you have not repented. That's part of obedience to the gospel. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, no. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Confess the deity of Christ before other people, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a beautiful account of conversion. You know, it contains all elements of our salvation. It does. He actually repented in there. He did not know that Jesus was the Son of God, but he changed his mind once he found out. That's repentance. He also confessed the deity of Christ. He believed that Jesus is who He says He is. He confessed that before Philip and anyone else who was with him on that trip. He was an Ethiopian eunuch, a nobleman, so he had a crew with him. Then he said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized. You know that it doesn't say that Philip told him to be baptized? Did you know that in that account? But we can know that he did. You know how? Because it says he preached Jesus, and then the Ethiopian responded by saying, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" That's how we can know definitively that Philip preached baptism, just like all inspired teachers did in the book of Acts. All accounts of conversion in the book of Acts are harmonious. They begin with belief, end in baptism. Every single account. God does not have any trouble telling us his one way of salvation, making it plain. I try to make it just as plain as I can. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you? If you haven't done that, you're not a Christian. You might have done something else, like those denominational folks that teach you can invite Jesus into your heart. If you did that, you have not received the remission of sins through the blood of Christ. I say that with all the love in the world that I can. It's because I love you that I would tell you that. If you went down into the water as an outward display of an inward change, you haven't gotten the remission of sins. That's not by the authority of Jesus Christ. Man made it up last century. Outward display of inward change, it's a fable because man made it up last century. If you asked Jesus to be your personal Savior and you invited him into your heart and you said some fictional sinner's prayer made up last century, it doesn't work. You still have the guilt of every sin you've ever committed. I say that with love for your soul, not for your feelings, for your soul. I want you to have the blood of Jesus Christ. It can only be given to you, credited to your account, in one way, the one way that Jesus Christ offers. Hear the good news, believe it, repent of your sins, change your mind, confess the deity of Christ before men, and then go down into the water because Jesus said so, for the reason Jesus said. Jesus said it's to be saved. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He said that right after he said, go preach the gospel. He had Peter say, similarly, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. It's because Jesus said so that we get the remission of sins. It is powered by the blood of Jesus, the only suitable sacrifice. If you haven't done that, not a Christian. If you invited Jesus into your heart, you're not a Christian. If you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, not a Christian. I love you and I want you to go to heaven. That's why I'm telling you this. I say so by the authority of Jesus Christ. If you have not been working for the Lord, telling folks about the one way of salvation, that might be something you need to repent of. If you've sinned publicly, like in this hymn I taught, you know, sometimes the world will see that wrong. If you've done that, that needs to be confessed publicly. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I offer a three parts invitation, the Lord's invitation. I offer three parts of it. You can obey the gospel to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins, and added by Jesus to his one church, Acts 2:47. You can make a change of mind and confess that I have not been living like I'm supposed to. You can do that in your own mind if it's private. If it's public, you can do that too. There's a third part of the Lord's invitation that I like to offer. We are Christians. We're the family that belongs to Christ. We can pray for each other. I'm having trouble doing my taxes. I'm having this challenge at work. Or my knee hurts. That's what the Lord's church does. Maybe we don't always recognize the power of that. The power of prayer together, united as His children, as His body. If you have any kind of need, now's the time. If you have any kind of need, you need to obey the gospel, repent, or prayers for anything. We're the church, that's what we do. Any need, make it known now while we stand and sing.